One of the things about the prophetic is that we can see into the spirit realm. The Lord gives us the ability to see spiritual things. We can see in the things that are that the natural eye and the natural man isn't able to perceive. And how many of you know that we are in a battle? That there is a war that's going on? And now we don't want to focus on or fear the enemy. We have the advantage by far. Amen? We have Jesus. If that wasn't enough, I mean, we have the whole Godhead. You know, we have so many things that are the advantage over the enemy. But every now and then, the Lord will share something with me, and I believe that it's the authority of the prophetic to call things out and to take authority over some things. And I wasn't really perceiving. I knew something was going on, but I wasn't fully sure. And until the Lord spoke with me just briefly tonight about it during worship, and some of us have been feeling maybe weak. We haven't been feeling real strong. Maybe we've even been feeling like giving up. We've been feeling tired. We feel like we're not able to focus. Feel like we're not able to connect with the Lord. That maybe all of our efforts, it's like walking uphill in the mud a little bit. And some of us aren't going through that, but I know there's a number of us that are. And I heard the Lord say a spirit of slumber. And if you know what a spirit of slumber is, there's other ways that it's mentioned. It's also mentioned as a spirit of stupor in the Bible, or a deaf and a dumb spirit. And what that can happen is that can manifest in a lot of different ways. But over a region, often what we'll do is it will bring a spiritual dullness. It's almost like if you ever feel like you're really tired and you're trying to wake up and focus. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like reading the scriptures. They don't seem crisp. They don't seem alive to you. They can just seem like words in the paper or on paper. When you're spending time with God, maybe it can feel like dull, like you can't connect or your heart isn't connecting. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The spirit of stupor can come and it can affect us and dull us and get us into a place of lethargy, into low motivation, into I don't want to pray, I don't feel like spending time in the Word. You can go from being a motivated person, passionate and zealous in God, and this thing can come and it's meant to slow you down and to wear you down. You guys understand what I'm talking about? So I'm just going to not spend much time. I wanted to share what this is about, but I'm going to take authority over it, and I'm asking you to agree with me. So that each of us in here, that this will be something that won't be able to influence us any longer. But also, this is for the region, okay? We're uniting in heart and spirit that we have authority over this region. And amen? You guys with me? So I'm just, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over a spirit of slumber, a spirit of stupor, over a deaf and dumb spirit. We break your power in the name of Jesus. We break all of your influence. We break all of your efforts, and we declare everything that you do against us to be fruitless in the name of Jesus. And we just call over this region, we break the power, the witchcraft power of a spirit of slumber in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call forth, Lord, for you to awaken our hearts, to awaken our minds, to awaken our spirit to your Holy Spirit, that we would be alert, that we would not be caught off guard, but we would be right on time and right in sync with you, that we would not miss your truth, and that the ploys of the enemy would not be blind to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, John, why don't you come on up? This is John Johnston. Let's give John a hand. Okay, you want to grab your stool here? Now, I have a few questions for John. Now, I love John's history and John's testimony. John has been on the prophetic team, have been with the prophetic ministry. I would say it's probably close to 6 years. Is that about right? Okay, about 6 years. Him and his wife, Teresa Johnston. And I love the fact that when John came in and began to be a part of the prophetic, he just had a hungry heart, was willing to go for it, was interested, and he wanted to do his best. And it was like, I'll just give it a shot. And so John is just like an average guy, is how he is shared. You know, like Amos is like the way I am. I'm not the son. My father wasn't a prophet. I'm not a prophet. And neither am I the son of a prophet. And it's kind of the same thing with John, as John has just come in. He's a lover of God. He's extremely passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he began to come on the prophetic team, because of his sincerity and his love for God, God just began to develop him and promote him and develop him. And to where now he is the operations director over Rhema, the personal prophecy rooms here. And he's really studied to show himself approved. He's been faithful. And I just have some questions, because it's interesting. Sometimes we think people in the prophetic ministry are, excuse me, so much different than we are. Sometimes we think that people were, they were born, you know, like the angel of the Lord came to them at birth, you know, kind of a thing, and anointed them, or they were struck with the lightning or something, and then all of a sudden it was like the spirit of prophecy entered them, and from a young age, you guys with me? Sometimes we just put people who prophesy on a pedestal, and we see them as being more spiritual than we are, or in a spiritual plane that we don't really want to put forth the effort to attain to. And what's nice is when God can raise up someone who is humble, and I'll call John humble, because I believe he is humble. And he's not self-promoting, but he is one of the most servant, he has one of the biggest servant hearts of any person I've ever known. I'm very proud of him and proud of Teresa. I'm proud of the whole team, but I wanted to just specifically interview John tonight. And I've heard all kinds of feedback from a lot of you at different times that when we share our hearts and we're open and transparent with many of you about what our journey has been like, it inspires you. It will often give you peace and think, well, hey, I'm not so different. If they can do it, I can do it. And we're both here to say, if we can do it, you can do it. Amen? And so I'm going to go ahead and get started, and I'm going to ask John a first question here. So, John, how has your life changed since you began to hear the voice of God for yourself?
I'm going to jump on the word change there a little bit, because one thing that will change you is when you hear God. When you hear Him speak, you change. You know what I'm talking about? And the first time that I remember hearing God's voice, I think I was about 17. So just to give you, a little bit of my history. But what happened was, when I heard Him whisper to me, I was praying. I set aside a day specifically to seek the Lord. And so I heard Him whisper to me, and it changed me in the sense that I loved it. I mean, there was something that happened to me, just that connection with God. And so I was changed in the sense that I'm going to devote myself, put myself in a position. So I, what did Paul do? He buffeted his body. I was disciplined in that sense of just entered into some disciplines that I, because I wanted to hear that again. You know, I wanted that. I was changed by hearing what He spoke to me. And so, you know, just to testify that God's word, to me, it's the most powerful influence in my life to change. Sometimes I want to do this different, or I want to do that different, but when I hear God tell me something, there's the grace to change and do it. And then, just as far as the prophetic team goes, I think the biggest change for me came when I realized that I was, in my walk had mostly been, when I hear God's voice, it was almost like a meteor falling out of the sky, you know, and where'd that come from? I want that again, but not really sure what to do about it, or how to increase, or how to grow. But once I begin to understand that, okay, you can develop a gift. So I joined the prophetic team not because I really wanted to be prophetic, but because my wife was on it, and I wanted to do something with her. And then I got really excited when I understood, oh, you mean like this isn't quite as mystical as I thought. If I practice routinely, if I surround myself with people who are talking about this all the time, that I'm gonna develop, and I can predict. It became something that was predictable. Okay, so it's like if you play basketball and you shoot baskets for an hour, you could predict if you did this so many weeks in a row, your average would go up, right? Not down, up. So it's kind of the same way. When I got that in my spirit, like, you mean if I do this in a year, I could walk up to somebody and prophesy over them? That was like, I'm in. It became something that wasn't so run around and fall on me, but I have a part in this. I can co-labor with the Lord in this, and it's predictable. Just like so many things in our lives is predictable. So I begin to see the change, and it happened like it was predicted.
And that's the way often that was with me as well. I mean, you can plan on it. It's like you invest in your spirituality, you invest in your spiritual growth, and you're going to have a return. Sometimes we're afraid to, or we think, you know, it's a waste of our time to invest spiritually in our life. But the fact is, it is the most predictable thing that we can do is invest in our spirituality. Because we have a Bible filled with promises from God that if we extend our faith and believe Him for what He's given us, what He's told us is available in the Word, then these things are going to take place in our life. Amen? And so when we know that God says that if we study to show ourselves approved, that there's going to be fruit from that. We give ourselves to learn to hear God's voice. That's His heart. He wants to commune with us. He wants to be able. How many, remember when Jesus was on, He walked as a man on the earth and He spoke to the people in parables. And those who had eyes to see and ears to hear would understand. And it was His heart. He was disappointed because of the hardness of people's hearts that they couldn't hear what He was saying. It's His will for us to hear Him and to hear His voice. So I have another question here. Number two, what is the dominant way that God speaks to you?
I'm an exhorter as my strongest gift as an exhorter. They kind of see the general picture in things. So I'm not real dominant in one, it's real strong, but I would say generally I kind of get a sense, an unction, an impression. That's probably my primary thing. Okay. Would just be that.
An impression. So some of us feel, I would say that could go underneath the feel category. We can see, we can hear, there's knowings, there's sensings, there's perceivings and impressions. And so yours is you have an impression and a sense. Okay. Okay, here's another question for you. As you have given your heart to learning to hear the voice of God, have you noticed an increase in your ability to hear God?
I think I've noticed an increase in hearing God, but it's more, God speaks so many different ways. There's so many different ways to hear Him. That's been one of the biggest things in my life that's changed. It's just as I'm ministering in the prophetic room specifically, week to week, you're talking, you're sharing with a lot of people. God speaks and connects with you in so many different ways. It's almost like I'm waiting to see how He's going to ambush me with the next way of speaking. And so when you understand that there's a liberty in hearing God like that because it's not just one way, and it also helps you to realize, you know, just because I heard Him one way today, I'm not going to hear Him the way when the next person comes in the room, I can't depend on that. But I've got to depend on God. Somehow He's going to connect with me one way or another. So there's just Amen. So many ways that God speaks.
That's right. And one of the keys to hearing God is being sensitive and being flexible. We want to be able to hear God in all the ways that He's willing to speak to us. And it could be an impression. We can get a quick flash of a picture. And we've got to be able to understand. We've got to know the Bible and the metaphors and the symbols in the Bible, especially if you have a seeing gift, to understand what God's saying. He doesn't speak in English as much as He speaks in the language of the Spirit. And He will share, like we saw Him speak about, you know, in the Bible, there's the seed and the sower. There's he who built his house upon the solid rock and those who built their house on the sand. See, He speaks in symbols and metaphors, illustrations and word pictures. It's very simple in one way, but in another, if you don't have a heart to understand, if you aren't in a place where you're ready to obey, and to do, it's going to be very hard to understand what God is saying fully and completely. And so being sensitive is really a key. And that's where you're being flexible. Sometimes, you know, I've worked really hard as well with John at developing my gifts. And one of the things you want to do is when you find your primary way that God speaks to you, you want to continue to develop that, but stretch in other areas that you're weak in so then you can round your strengths out. So when you're weak in one and maybe your primary way, then you have other areas. What you find is when you invest in other areas and you train yourself and work in other areas, you grow in your overall ability to hear and to perceive what God's saying. When you prophesy, John, when you prophesy to people, would you say that you're also encouraged when you prophesy to them? And if so, how?
Sometimes the best way to answer a question is with another question, right? Can you pour water through a pipe and not get it wet? And so, yes, I'm edified just because the Holy Spirit's working through me. And how many of you, anytime you feel God working through you, you're edified, right? I mean, we're made that way. We're made for that. We're made to do whatever. You know, God speaks to you to go give somebody a gift. You are edified because you were made to hear and respond and be used by God. So how could you not be in a prophetic room when you're ministering to people and speaking God's heart and sensing that going through you and not be edified? That's kind of an understatement. I go home a lot of times on Tuesday nights on a high because just can't sleep when I get home. Because God stirred me up, or just I'm just excited about what God's doing, or whatever it might be. But yes, I'm very touched and very edified.
Me too. I can identify with you for many years. Sometimes I'm still do this, but for many years in a row, I would go home. My wife and I, we would be done ministering, and we were always longing. Actually, we wanted to prophesy to more people, and it was just like, we wanted to prophesy to the walls. We just loved it. And there was such a reward and what I would say, a divine prophetic energy that came from it that would build us up, that would sustain us in the next few weeks. So it's like there truly is, in my opinion, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, because there's somehow God has got this way of bringing about a divine transfer and causing things to be brought to you spiritually. He knows exactly what we need. We can say what we need, but it may not be what we really need. God knows what we really need. And so for me, it's the same way with John too, is that I'm really blessed when I prophesy to someone else, and it really encourages me. John, do you feel you have room for improvement within your prophetic ministry?
Here's where I'll use a picture, okay? When I read that question, a picture came to me right away. And that was like, I was holding a 5-gallon bucket. And at one point, you know, there might have been a few drops in the bucket. But now I can tell the water level's going up in the bucket. Maybe an inch, you know, it might be an inch of water in the bucket. But I've still got this whole 5-gallon bucket to be filled, to learn, to grow, to improve, you know, anything from accuracy to delivery to interpretation. There's so much it's kind of like, you know, a whole sea of things out there to explore and grow in. So definitely room for improvement.
Yeah, same here. I think that there's anyone on the team will tell you, I know I've been doing this a long time as well, and I know there's a lot of room that I have for improvement. You know, you can do it for a long time, and it's like God begins to, you know, you grow and you increase, and then God will show you have a ceiling, and then God will promote you, and he'll remove that ceiling, and you think, wow, I'm really, look at the increase here, and look at the freedom, and look at the new depth, and then you get to a point, mature, and then pretty soon you're at another ceiling, you're at another place, and God begins to show you, hey, you felt like you were really soaring, you know, back then. Well, I'm showing you that there's even much more that's available now. And I think that as long as we're on this earth, there's always going to be increase available for us. There's always going to be more for us. And I certainly see much room for improvement in my life. And I think that if any prophetic person was to tell you that they don't have room for improvement, I would question their humility. Amen? I have another question. I have another question here for John. This is your last one, bro. Hebrews 5:14 says that solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. It's a scripture that I quote quite a bit. It's one that we hear a lot in the prophetic training and the prophetic team. So John, when you think on this scripture and consider your journey in the prophetic ministry, how has this scripture been true for you?
I guess the word that sticks out to me in that scripture is the word practice. And when I think of practice, I think of a team. And I so have this burned in me, the fact that I'm just so delighted to be a part of the prophetic ministry team. Well, I just see it like this, okay? If you've been around me very long, you've probably heard me say this, but there's some of you here that haven't heard me say this. Okay, to have a prophetic team where you have somebody that's a coach, so to speak, and you have, we bring in people from the, you know, we listen to videos and all that, so we get input from a lot of different sources, and then we meet on a regular basis and we practice. We encourage each other. We're around it all the time. You go to another level, just like if you were playing street basketball, but you just played it for fun and you didn't practice, you might be a real good player, but you wouldn't really go very far. I mean, it's nothing like if you were college level. You go into a college, those guys play ball, or you go to professionals because they practice, because they have a coach, because there's some sense of commitment and order there. They're going to a whole new level. So practice is a pretty major thing. So I'm just delighted to be able to be on the team, and I can see the fruit of practice in my own life. And then I'll just take this little blurb of a time just to maybe challenge you, or if you're hungry for developing, you know, Paul says you can all prophesy. So I don't consider myself a prophet, not even very prophetically gifted. But because my wife was in there and I wanted to do it, that's an area that I can develop. And I've really been blessed hugely by developing that. And it came because I made a choice. Okay, I want to do this. So I joined a team, started practicing, and really have so been so blessed because of that. So that's what I think of when I think about practicing. I think about a team. I had played ball when I was young and was a ball team. And, you know, when I was a seventh grader, I wasn't that great. But you expected me to get better the next year because we practiced. And same way with, you know, so through high school, I developed my skills. Now, maybe you don't play basketball, but maybe you're a musician or who knows whatever else, and you can appreciate what practice will do for you. Well, it's the very same thing with developing that spiritual gift. So I just encourage anyone, if you have an opportunity, join a team, practice, because it's worthwhile, and it really does make a difference.
How do you think hearing God and being prophetic and learning how to prophesy has affected your everyday life and other areas of spirituality?
I'll just say this. You know, there's two sides to hearing God. The good side is when God's telling you things about people. The bad side is when he's saying, no, I don't want you to do that. Because it's like you're held, you're responsible, because now you can hear the Lord. You know it's the Lord telling you that. You can't argue with him. So there's a downside to hearing God, but it's a real good downside. The will doesn't necessarily like it. The flesh doesn't like it. But that's the downside to getting more skilled at hearing God's voice. Because sometimes Daddy says, no.
Greater accountability.
Yep.
So would you say then, in other areas, whether it would be worship, whether it be because you were a Sunday school teacher for a long time, even in running your business, has hearing God and your growth in the prophetic enhanced or had a positive effect in those areas of your life as well?
Probably the word that comes to my mind is just confidence. Like in any lots of different areas, when you begin to get confidence, that's when you step out. That's when you move. That's when you take action, because you're confident, you're sure. So just, I would say that that's what's happened, is it's affected me. There's just more confidence in, okay, this is the Lord. It may come in a strange way, but you recognize it's got that. It's got that feel. It's got that life to it. You know God's speaking to you. And so I would say that's probably the biggest thing, is just new confidence in, you know, lots of different areas.
Well, you know, we want to encourage you, each of you, any of you, and there's usually there's usually a different group that come in on Tuesday nights, and even School of Prophets. Voice Ministries has worked to make sure that there was an open door for anyone who wants to grow in their ability to hear the voice of God and for themselves, or to grow in the ability to minister the voice of God prophetically to others. It's like the class, what we're doing tonight. And but also, too, we have a once-a-month training period. We call it the School of Prophets. And now we might change that to School of Prophecy. And it's not meant to be like, if you're a prophet, then you need, you know, if you're not a prophet, don't come. But if you're a prophet, you need to be there. It's not one of those kind of things. The idea is growing in your ability to perceive and to understand the ways in which God speaks. That's the heart of it. And it's not so much about that if you come that you're committing yourself to be on a prophecy team, or that it's not like that. The main emphasis is you've got to learn how to hear God and grow in understanding what that means before you can really step out and to be successful at prophesying to others. And what we want to encourage you is this: every third Friday of every month, we have a class that starts at 7 o'clock and we're done at 9:30. And we even have a school that we've set up inside there for those who want to actually track their progress. There's always a training. It's free if you want to come and just like audit the classes. We want to give you an opportunity not only to sit down and hear the Word of God spoken and taught in a way that's applicable for hearing God in the prophetic, but also give you an opportunity to get hands-on, get in there and practice with someone else in hearing and sharing what you believe the Lord is saying. And, you know, a lot of times people are afraid of making a mistake. Well, there's no safer place to be than in this kind of environment. We set it up where it's okay to fail. This is not about perfection. Even the Bible says, and 1 Corinthians 13, that we know in part and we prophesy in part. Is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 13? I think it's 1 Corinthians. So we prophesy in part. That means God doesn't give us the full picture. If we had to be 100% accurate all the time, then God in his justice would make sure that we have revelation proportionate to the demand to be 100%, right? Wouldn't it be unjust for God to just quickly, what if someone said, all right, tell me a story, and they quickly showed you a card and with some information on it from a close. If I went to John and I said, okay, John, I want you to tell me everything about this. All right, Kate, ready? Begin. Don't mess up now. Don't miss it. See, that's not the nature of God. He says that we also prophesy in proportion to our faith. So if, you know what faith is, it's like Peter getting out of the boat, right? So it takes faith to prophesy. That means that we don't have necessarily an open vision and angels whispering in our ear word for word. Or you're like, we got the earpiece of heaven in and we're copying what they're saying. You guys with me? It's not like that. We get a flash of picture. We step out in faith. When our hearts are focused on Jesus, we're living a righteous life, and our intent is to be loving towards someone else. It's amazing the grace God gives us, even when we're not aware, to say the very things that are on his heart for others. And it's amazing how God will guide our words in our mouth, and we not even realize that it's him. So we want to encourage you. Tonight was meant to be an encouraging night for you, that if I can do it, and John can do it, any of you can do it if you want to. Now, I'm not saying that y'all have to prophesy, although the Bible says that we can all prophesy. But the primary thing that we want to encourage you in is investing in your spirituality, investing in your ability to hear and to perceive the voice of God for yourself. It's amazing the life that can come from a situation when you hear God for yourself. And what's even more amazing to me is when I can hear God for someone else. They walk away encouraged, and it's like, wow, I didn't feel that spiritual when I saw that or heard that or shared that, but look how it made them feel. And so we want to encourage you. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to take some time. We generally will do a message or share something. But what we're going to do is we're going to prophesy from the platform here as God highlights some of you to us. We're just going to share what we believe God is saying to you, what's on his heart and his mind. Now, if we pick you, that doesn't mean that you're God's pet or that you're super spiritual. However, we know that we're all God's favorite one, right? I mean, we're all God's favorite one. But if you don't get picked, we also don't want you to feel like God doesn't love you or that, there we go again. God, another passed up another opportunity and he could have picked me and didn't. And, we want to be careful not to think those kind of things because we can begin to believe things that aren't true. Amen? And so as the Lord shows us, how many of you know there's different seasons that you go through? Sometimes you can have long seasons where it seems like God's voice is very, very, very subtle. You really got to listen. And there's other times where it seems like hearing God can be just like a booming voice, and it's real clear at times. What we want to do is just make sure you don't feel left out. We're going to do stage ministry, and then what we're going to do is we're going to call you up. Those of you who may want some prophetic ministry, the whole team is going to come up. But we're only going to do a 1 or 2 minute prophecy, and you need to have your own recording device. Okay, we record for our own safeguard, so someone doesn't tell us that, we said something terrible to them. But we want to encourage you, we aren't set up right now to go burn you a CD and bring it back to you. This isn't what this ministry is for. It's for you to bring, some of you have phones with recording apps, that kind of a thing. That's where you want to come up, bring that, or even write it down as we're ministering to you, okay? So I'm going to have John and Penny and Stan come up. Brad. Oh, I'm sorry. Brad. Brad, Penny, and Stan.
Gal with the stripe. Sweater, you got a white sweater with stripes. What's your name? Kelsey, I saw a picture of you holding like a compass, and that's the most important instrument when you're out in uncharted territory, and you depend on that compass. And what I see, what's unusual about your compass, is I see the cross in the center of it, and that's like the instrument that's pointing the way. So I just feel like you're in a season of a lot of decisions. I feel like you have a real gift of discernment that a lot of people really trust. They come to you for answers, and I really feel like you're the one. We'll go to Kelsey. She'll know. And I really feel like that's something that is strong in your life. And I feel like the Lord is really wanting to guide and lead you and to direct you. And I think in the days ahead, you have some decisions in front of you. But just remember that your compass is the way of the cross, and that is always go back to that in uncharted territory. Amen.
Gentleman in the green, or I can't really see because the lights are really crazy up here. Right there, the real pretty aqua and blue, yes. What is your name? Carrie Ann. Carrie Ann, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, he's not done with you yet. And I feel like the Lord says that you're the clay and he's the potter. And he's making you into a beautiful vessel of honor. And you've been resisting and you're going, ouch, this hurts. I don't like this because he's spinning you around. He's patting you and smooshing you. And it's uncomfortable for you. But he's making you. This is not to break you. This is to make you into the vessel of honor that God sees you as. His identity and destiny is completely different from how you see yourself right now. But he is making you into this vessel of honor for fit for use. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, you are going to be a weapon in his hands. You are a weapon in God's hands, fit for use. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, don't let anyone tell you that you've been disqualified. You are not disqualified. You are qualified, girlfriend. So don't let anybody tell you any different, okay? Because he's got, really, give God good grace. He's got such a plan for you, and everybody's saying, who, you? And you say, yeah, me. I'm special. The Lord says that you're special and you're not to give up. And don't listen to those people that are negative and saying, well, you can't do that. All things are possible with God, and He is in you, He loves you, and He has got a powerful destiny for you. So don't give up, all right?
Gentleman in the red shirt, I'm pointing right at you. What's your name, sir?
Brian.
I heard the Lord say that you are a leader and that there's been quite a preparation. And that there's been quite a process. I see like two major cycles in your life. I feel like when you were younger, God really put a demand on that leadership gift, even when you were in school and things. I see that. And I think it began to rise in different ways. But then I think there was a period that you went through where that leadership gifting is, maybe it's just like you went into the desert season, or you went into a time of obscurity where that leadership gifting and that leadership call wasn't as obvious as it had been in the past. And I see the Lord is raising you up as a man, even in this season and in this time, to be a leader for Him. And I just see you setting, God using, putting His will in you. And I see a standard, a God standard in you. And I see you, it's like you setting standards for God within even other men's lives. I feel to see you as a leader in men. But I also heard the Lord say that you're a voice. And God has been forming you. I see the word champion over your life. And so I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you that in spite of maybe any challenges that you've faced, that God has got an amazing plan for you. And I just see God putting you right on track. I feel like don't let your soul or whatever looks doesn't look right take you another way. I feel like the Lord is just saying to you, stay on track. So God bless you, brother.
I'm assuming you guys are a couple here, right? The green shirt and the red dress. What's your names? Jack and April? Okay. I'm going to kind of minister to you just as a couple, because I feel like that you guys are just really one. And what I saw was, I saw a basketball. Now, as I'm thinking, I feel like I saw a lot of movement, jostling. Just some real flexibility. You know, basketball has got to be really resilient. I feel like that you guys are really, you're resilient. It seemed like there's just a lot of action in your lives, things going on, but that's just a part of who you are. And as I meditated on the basketball, there were several things I thought were really key. For one thing, just the hands of the Lord. I feel like that you're the basketball in the Lord's hands. And His hands are on you. He really wants you to know that. Sometimes you may not feel Him, just like the basketball. You know, He may pass off or do-do-do-do, but it doesn't mean He's not focused on you. His hands are on you. And then also just a real sense of, you know, sometimes basketball players, they have their favorite ball. They like the way it feels. There's something about the way it feels in their hands. And just the emphasis again, I just think the Lord just delighted in the way you feel. He likes the way you feel in His hands. There's something about your sensitivity, your submission, might be another word, just the sense of surrender in His hands that He really loves and He's excited about. And then I just feel like He really wanted you to know He's a good shot. And I saw the basketball going through the hoop. And I feel like that's saying, you know, you're going to reach your destiny. The Lord is the author and the perfecter of your faith. So be blessed as you're a basketball for the Lord's hands.
Amen, amen. All right.
All right, the person I was going to minister just left, I guess. They were there just a minute ago. Okay, we'll switch. The girl in the brown hat, did they leave behind you guys? Okay. All right, over here, the young lady with the silver cross on and the black shirt. What's your name? Danielle, okay. Well, Danielle, I just, I hear the word undercover. That in a lot of ways you've been undercover, and that you're just kind of like SEAL Team 6 or something like that. You're like real stealthy, and I hear the Lord saying, daughter, I've seen the hours you've spent on your knees. I've seen the passion in your heart, and I just maybe at times you felt like nobody else noticed, or that people didn't take they didn't see what you were doing. I just really sense the Lord saying, daughter, I'm pleased with the way that you have fought for what is right. And I just see you as one that is just a fighter. You are just probably a little stubborn at times too, but I just really sense that you're just you don't give up easily. And I think that word tonight that Emily gave about stay in the course, I just hear the Lord saying this is a time for you to really step into bigger shoes. I hear God saying you can fill those shoes, okay? And it's something that I sense there's something you've been thinking about doing or thinking about stepping into, and it's almost like all this doubt and all this hesitation's been coming at you as, man, can I do that, or is that really me? And I just hear the Lord saying it's time to put the rally cap on. You know, it's time to just go all in, okay? And this is going to be, I just hear God saying there's much fruit that's going to come. It's already coming from your life, but I just see a real season of great fruitfulness coming to your life.
Gal right here in the front row, what's your name?
Let's do like pop.
Janice. Janice, when I thought of you, I thought of like a beef stew. You know, there's a lot of components to a beef stew. There's the beef, and there's carrots and peas and gravy and all the things. If you have just carrots, you have carrot soup, right? And I just see that all the components are your spiritual gifts. I feel like you're an intercessor. I see a teacher in you. I see an exhorter. I see some speaking gift in you. And it's all these different gifts that are in you that make up that stew. And I just sense that you've had a long season of giving and a long season of serving and serving others around you. And I feel like it's time to share the stew. I feel like you are a mentor, and there's others around you. And I feel like the Lord's going to open up some opportunities for you to share that stew. And it's like some are going to come to you and say, hey, can I have some of that stew? So there's just so much. The Lord has put so much into that stock that make up your spiritual gifts. I just sense that the Lord is really pleased with how you have stewarded all those gifts that he's given to you. But it's time to share the stew. Amen.
Betty, is your name Betty in the wheelchair? I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that wheelchair does not define you, that you travel in the Spirit, and the Lord wants you to know that there are soldiers out on the battlefield that have dodged bullets because of your intercession, and the Lord wants you to know that he hears your prayers and that the angels take the word that you speak and intercede with, and they go, and it does not return void, but it accomplishes that which it's sent to do. And the Lord wants you to know when you have many gifts, callings, and talents, and in heaven there are treasures, a treasure house laid up in heaven for you because of your intercession. And many lives, even in Africa, there have been people spared because of your intercession. So that wheelchair does not define you. You go in the Spirit wherever you choose to go. And the Lord hears your prayers. They're powerful. And Roma, I just wanted to tell you that the Lord said that there's coming a shift. I see him just stepping over and pressing a button on your life, and you're going to shift. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying you're going to take the promised land.
All right. Praise the Lord.
You have a red coat, I think, over your lap. I'm pointing right at you. You have a white jacket on. What's your name? Kristen? Kristen, I see you like right in God's grip. And I feel like there's been a time of pressure. And the Lord wants you to know that it's him doing a great work in you. That it's not the enemy. It's not some uncontrolled circumstance or some outside issue. That God has been bringing some pressure. And in that, I see his love working in you. And I just heard the Lord say, new growth. So take the time of the season that you're in and celebrate in it, because it's a work from God's hands.
All right. Okay, the gentleman in the black sweatshirt right there. What's your name? Yep, you. Brandon. Okay, Brandon. I just heard the word observing, and I just heard God saying it's time to come from the outside to the inside. And I just sense there's some things you're looking at, some things you've been observing, that you've been articulating over some things, looking around, looking at things from all different angles. And I just sense there's something that you've been thinking about, something that you've been focused on, and I just hear the Lord saying, it's time to step into the inner circle. It's time to get into the midst of the thing right now. So, amen.
Very good. Good job.
The gentleman with the Looks like the Hawaii shirts are the blue shirt. Okay, what's your name? Lynn. Glenn? Okay. I got a picture of you sitting at an architectural board. And my sense was there's just some real treasures inside you. Just a wealth that God's deposited in your life. Something about your history that's really precious. And I just feel like that this is the Lord's doing some things in you you've got some real, just some awesome, maybe some ideas, some plans. And I feel like the Lord's going to bring forth something. You're going to build something. You know, he's doing some things. But I was just really specifically struck by the preciousness in your inner being, that God's really deposited some things that are valuable. So meditate on those things, and just I just see the Lord bringing some things from your life out of that. Okay.
All right, very good. Good job.
Okay.
Let's give the Lord a hand.
Why don't you guys go ahead and go down. I'm going to call the prophetic team up, and they're going to come up forward, up front here, and they're going to minister to you 1 or 2 minute prophetic words. As they're coming, I'm going to give one more quick prophecy. A young lady there in a gray sweater, you have you're sitting right up here and pointing right at you with a gray sweater. What's your name? Tanya. Tanya, I see a storm. I see a lot of storms around you. I feel like you've gone through a challenging time. I feel like even your faith has been tested. There's some serious questions you've been asking yourself about God. I believe I'm right about that. What I'm seeing is that there's some things that you've been asking yourself about God and your relationship with him. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know that the season that you've come through was not his best for you. That there's been some discouragement that the enemy has tried to bring. But the Lord's plan for you is great. And I see the storm coming to an end. And I feel the Lord saying to you, new beginning, but that you need to extend your faith. It's almost like I saw you break out of a shell and just say, I'm not going to be there, because it was almost like maybe discouragement has kind of boxed you in some way, and you broke out of it, extended your faith, and I just saw the sun come, the clouds dry up, as like I could hear the birds chirping, and I could see a new joy in your heart. Does any of this make any sense to you? Okay. Well, God bless you. Okay, so if you want a prophetic word, and we're talking 1 or 2 minute prophetic word, bring your recorder up or your phone up, and stand in front of someone. If you see an open space, take it. Don't just try to wait for one person, okay? Go ahead and take advantage of even John, he's standing down here. You may not even see him. But go ahead and come out if you want a prophetic word. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you and bless you. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every person here. I bless every family and every marriage represented. We just speak increase of love and unity. We call for and declare increase of the ability to hear your voice and to perceive what it is that you're saying and to understand your message. And I just bless every church. We bless every church, every ministry, every region is represented here in the name of Jesus. So God bless you. We'll see you next time.